I would like to call the executive committee meeting to order. And before Mary leaves, take up the work plan for Iraq and approve that.
Do you, I don't see an agenda in front of them, do they?
Oh.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing, but the first thing I'll be fast about is the first thing on my agenda was to say, because there are some new faces and names. I'm Barbara Hermanson. I am the chair of the RAC, and I am a representative from Alexandria and former vice chair for Alexandria, which means I got to the pleasure of dealing with Mary some. And you are?
I'm Bob Fogel. I'm vice chair for Maryland, and I'm from Montgomery County.
We know you, well, I don't know if you know Mary.
I'm from Arlington, but I'm sitting in for Kathy Hudson.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael Goldman, yes. A fellow Montgomery County,
yes.
Person.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that. And I've seen you. I've been sitting in the peanut gallery during the committee meeting, so I've seen you many times. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the new guy.
New member from the district.
Okay, thank you. So you want to jump right into the work plan. Okay. It's probably a more aggressive slate of things that we'd like to work on. There's a lot of enthusiasm and people on the RAC that want to work on a lot of different things. Just wanted to run through the basics of them so you could, there may be things that you know about things coming up that make them really good ideas or some things you know about, well, we should wait because something else is happening, that sort of thing. So one of the things we already did was provide a little input on the 2016 budget options before they were taken off the table, the stuff that impacted the writers. But we have talked with Mark, and I can't remember his last name, from the finance group, because in the past, I think, Mort, you might remember that we had talked about fair simplification, and he said if we were going to come up with any recommendation on that, the next few months is the right time.
Right. Because we're hopefully not going to do fairs until next year, so now's the time to be thinking.
Yeah,
about
so for the 2017 yep. budget. So the Customer Service Committee, I'm going to let Bob take that part to talk about those. It's all your turn already.
That was fast.
Well, they said that Mary's going to leave if you don't get too far. She's leaving anyway.
For better or for worse, the Customer Service Committee seems to be the largest of the four committees we have. There are about 10 members, and, of course, there are many, many opinions and things that people want to do. I think let me go through. There are four of them, and let me go through them as quickly as I can. The first one is collaborate with the WMATA staff and rider-related safety procedures, incident training, and I will ask and add accurate, clear, and timely communications. I think communications is the major item. There is a sense that when incidents occur, whether they be minor, like a delay, medium level, like maybe somebody jumping in front of a train, or a major incident, communications are often unclear, and who has responsibility for those communications. When we talk about responsibility, we talk about both the station personnel, communication from the central office to the trains and to the platform, and online communication to riders who are either planning on using the system in that way or on their way to use the system. And we wonder if protocols exist for how communications occurs at all those three levels. Relationship to that, we also think that we have some concerns about the loudspeaker systems both at the stations and on the train that most of us have experienced as sometimes garbled, sometimes hard
less
to hear.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we were talking about is that I know there are issues, you know, in terms of connectivity between when you're crossing different series. But we don't know if that's how prevalent that is today or how much it will change with 7,000. We just don't know. And we're wondering how long that's going to still be.
Mary, how much time do you have?
I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
I have to get back to Arlington. I have a 2 o'clock meeting that 12 other people are in.
Okay.
So I've quickly looked at this, and I would vote in favor of this, and I think you should take as much time as you should need to explain it to the other three people.
We'll still try to be quick, though.
Yeah, but please count me as a yes vote in favor of this work plan.
Can we also get a yes vote?
And you may have a yes vote. Well, I really...
I need a vote on the minutes.
Okay, I wasn't here. It's always hard to approve minutes. You weren't part of a meeting you weren't part of. I think you need to hold those for Mrs. Hutchins. I'm really sorry.
Oh, it's fine. Thank you.
The minutes from the last executive committee.
We'll have another chance. Thanks.
Meeting of February 26th, which you and I were at.
With the accessibility?
No, this is with the RAC.
The RAC, we haven't been here since December.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the one we had with the accessibility. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I can second that.
So, okay. All in favor of those minutes? Aye.
Okay.
So I think you get the idea that communications is essential. It's got to be timely, clear. No fuzzing, give to the extent you can give people clear ideas of how long delays are going to take place, how long they're going to be, some parameters, it would be very useful.
I think we also said that sometimes if you don't know anything more, you still say, hey, we're still working on it.
Yeah.
We still don't know, but we'll let you know when we do.
Well,
that's reassuring.
If you were at the safety committee meeting, one of the things that came up was, can we be sure that if first responders have been called to an incident, that the train operator relays that to the people on the train?
Right, yeah, and I mentioned to him that there had been some discussion about what riders had expressed an interest in that we'll, get a hold of.
The second issue is Blue Line service, and I will. Barbara is very interested in this. Let me.
I know. That was exciting. No, I historically I have a little bit of a background I wanted to share. When the Silver Line first opened, we had a lot of Blue Line riders. A lot, anyway, for us. As you heard the AAC numbers, we typically have anywhere from 0 to 3. Public input people. And that night we had half a dozen maybe, and they were all here because of the Blue Line and the impact, because it was maybe a week or two after it opened, the Silver opened. And they were looking, saying, it's just too crowded to get on. They went through all of the experiences that they had. And out of that, we had a meeting that Lynn Bowers, Oxford Troop, and others with them, some of those people that are part of Save the Blue Line, and I talked, and they listened to the ideas, and they made it clear that, until September came and we're back to more of a non-summer time, it would take a while. But then later it was, we really need the whole quarter, 3 months worth of data. And I think that the people have been very professional, these Blue Line riders, and very, very patient. But I think they really want to know what's going to happen, because they've seen the same numbers that we've seen. And 3 month period, it had the Silver Line had in the rush hour had an average of 79 people on each car, whereas the Orange was at 80, 81, and the Blue Line was at 102, which is considered, and that's, if it's an average, because I ride the Blue Line, and I often do take the yellow path that's an alternate to the blue, I personally experience it, and I've been knocked down with people pushing to get on, and during the rush hour, it's not good conditions. They either, if they can get on, it's crowded, and if they can't get on, they have to wait 12 more minutes if they are really on a blue only path.
Yeah.
I'm one of the lucky people that I really can go either way. It's a toss up. But I understand the concerns, because there have been times where I know it's quite a long wait for blue, so I will take the yellow path instead. And then I get over to L'Enfant to go back to go into Virginia, and there's a problem with the yellow line. Not so serious that there was an alert, because it was maybe 10 minutes. But it's hard to persuade the people to do it. So at the time, and still true, the Blue Line people have asked not just for, they've asked for maybe one, if they could get one more train an hour. And we know that means somebody else would have to lose one. We realize that, but they feel that it seems reasonable. But we know it's not as simple as, oh, yeah, let's just add another. But we know that it's a complicated system. You've got places you can turn around and places you can't. But they have the other option is far more consistently get A-car trains during the rush hours. And I loved hearing that
the first
7,000 series is ours.
And we're looking at the other as well.
That's wonderful, because that's a significant difference,
now
too.
Now that we have close to a year's worth of experience with Silver Line, and then step back and say, how well is it working?
Yeah.
And where it doesn't work well is actually the Roslyn Tunnel.
Sure.
In a sense, we may be trying to put too many trains through that.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So how do we rebalance them in some fashion is something we're looking at.
They made a list of, you know, like several things they thought that would make significant difference, but then other things that I think they got more response on from Lynn because they were much more doable, like make sure we're getting the messages about the other lines. And I've experienced that myself where it, once I did hear, by the way, if you're going this direction, there is a backup on that line. So, but we think that they've been really good and really patient, and we would like to understand the numbers and the situation more. We have someone whose name I've forgotten, Jennifer, coming to our next meeting to talk about this. And
it's Sean Conan. He's the managing director of planning.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, back to you.
The third item is, what are the roles and responsibilities of the metro station managers and the bus hub supervisors? Certainly, some would believe that the role of a station manager is to remain at his post or her post in the kiosk no matter what happens. We wonder if that is their own responsibility, or as the sort of the first line of contact between the Metrorail system, they perhaps should be out moving among the riders, providing information and support. For instance, when there are overcrowded platforms, should they be out there making sure that people are positioned properly? Escalators seem to be a problem. When escalators get overcrowded, particularly on bad rainy days or snowy days, sometimes people get back up on those escalators, and there's a real concern that people will fall back. And perhaps that's a role for a station manager, just to get out and do a little bit of supervising of the entire station, as opposed to simply taking care of people's concerns when their fare cards don't work. Of course, when you're the person whose fare card doesn't work, you want the person there. But we don't know what the roles and responsibilities are, but we'd like to investigate that and examine whether there are
any. And we're in a process now, as you've seen, a customer service committee of trying to redefine the station manager, including Mr. Bolger were here, he would remind us again, getting them a uniform that would define them as the station manager, as opposed to half a dozen other people who may be in the station but have other duties.
Good point.
Yeah. I can't believe Tom has an opinion on that.
I'm not going to do any insulting here. I'm sorry.
That was a derogatory comment. Has known Tom for many years.
That's how we are, right.
Yeah, and he's always, yeah. The last item is provide recommendations and information available to riders at bus stops. We know this is a complicated issue because bus stops are not necessarily owned by
some of our,
some of them aren't. But perhaps some consistency in terms of maps, schedules, certainly when a schedule of a bus line is changed or the time is changed, there should be some good notification given to
we
people.
We also have now the new dynamic signs at a few bus stops
right.
in the district. It would be good to get some reaction from RAC. I've seen some thoughts on those. People saying TMI, like too many buses. I was over at Kennedy Center the other night, and they were telling me on Saturday night at 10 o'clock what bus was coming at 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
See, I see them every day at Pentagon, and I do keep seeing this one's at 6 a.m. and this one's at 7 a.m., and I'm there at 6 at night.
Right.
And sometimes it doesn't mention one that I think is coming.
Well, it'd be coming, yeah.
So I don't know what's going exactly.
And so that I think would be one good thing to look at.
Yeah, because that's
help us fine-tune what could be and should be a good instrument for dealing with the customers.
Right.
Anyway, that's the end of my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
One of the things about the customer committee, and at least this is probably not news, but our experience has been over and over that people do understand that things break, passengers get sick, the doors don't work, or a bus gets stuck in traffic. And It's easier to take, though, if they know.
Yeah.
And to the extent it's possible, mm-hmm. that they don't mind if they just know, oh, okay, it's delayed. They don't know how long. But I mean, they can, they feel better about it.
Yeah.
They don't feel so vulnerable, I think.
And they can consider alternatives. I
mean, yeah.
You should be able to know if you're driving at a station and the system is broken down. That before you should know be able to learn this before you arrive at the station and make alternate plans.
On that point, we'd had a discussion about this. Is that I think that the alert system by email is great. I use it every day. I don't go anywhere without checking it. But I keep being reminded that there are people that don't have that. And so they get to a station, and then they discover there's a problem, maybe even on the platform. And so I don't know that I've even gotten adjusted yet to the fact that there are right at the station manager's kiosk.
The flat screen is there, and it's kind of now faded into the background.
Well, yeah.
Now it's always been there, and you forget to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we need to put some more exciting pictures on the flat.
Okay, we could all imagine what that might be. Okay, then we have a PPP committee. I think it's not necessarily exactly the same as the one that the mm-hmm. board has, but programs, projects, and planning. And as you already know, that committee has collaborated with the AAC on priority seating. And Patrick talked a little bit about mm-hmm. that today, and I really don't know too much about
that. This is how to be sure that priority seating is actually available to those who...
Yes. And I think Tom may have initiated it with them, Tom Downs, that it came about because of a veteran who could not board a bus because there was not either the people wouldn't get up or weren't able to vacate the space yeah. that they would need. And so the AAC is addressing all the things that they know about it, as far as they had issues about what do you do if you are there at the curb and it's full.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the RAC, and myself included, I have some mobility issues. And so for me, it's more the communication, because I think people debate with one another about, well, which ones are the seats for the disabled? Is that sign exactly, and other ways of communicating it. So that's in the works. They've just started the same committee talking with, I forgot the name of the person, although it was in my report, Brian Anderson, Digital Communications Manager. They talked to him about mobile application technology and are also interested in learning more about cell phone service, not just as a regular customer service tool, but because of the safety
right.
implications of that.
That.
Yeah, and the whole 911 issue, which not even occurred to me.
Yeah.
I can see that that's a real challenge. So they're just, I don't know
I
that that's even
on
started.
On the basis of January 12th, we have got people's attention back to the shortcomings in the tunnels.
Yeah.
Still going to take a while to
right.
fix. But I think as you heard Rob say, we're going to take on some responsibilities there. If we're out doing work, we'll do some of their work for them
uh-huh.
so that we can get this thing finished. They've kind of lost interest 4 or 5 years into this and the change in the business model for shell carriers is not as important to them as it was when they first wanted to get into the tunnels.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I mean, when they pushed to have this done, which was Congress, Congressman Waxman came in with this amendment on behalf of the carriers, that's when they charged you by the call. And they were very happy to have people who would be able to make calls who wouldn't be able to make them. And now that everybody's got service plans, it's less of a business.
What's in it for them?
It's still an imperative for our customers,
yeah,
including the 911 issue.
The fourth one, I'm not sure. They haven't tackled it yet, and I don't know how much they will. I think because when the first budget options came out, there was talk about possibly coordinating with regional transit systems in terms of transferring some service. But that was something that they were interested in. How would that work? Do we have liaisons? And
that is something that I expect will still be on the table this year, not
okay.
service cuts. But
no.
the staff proposal presented in December and then tabled was revisiting what's regional bus service, what's local bus service, who's in a better position to offer it. And I think when we adopt the budget, there'll be a renewed interest in looking at that over the next year or so.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And then also at one of the former meetings here, Mr. Downs had asked that we be involved. He wanted us to participate and be involved in the new payment system, payment program pilot, just to mm-hmm. be able to know. A couple of us have signed up, myself included. I don't know if I'm embarrassed to say, but I have to confess that I'd forgotten that it didn't. The pilot doesn't handle Smart Trip. So I would pay $10 a day, roughly, for the service of participating in the pilot. And I have done it some, right. But not every day. So, but I've certainly had good experience with that. But so what the committee is now trying to do is then tap into the feedback that's coming in from the public to the team that's handling it. Mm-hmm. Tom, is it?
Tom, yeah.
Yeah. And to be a partner in trying to sift through what they get. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Anything about that group?
Just a couple of questions. Yeah. On the NEAS, I think it would be good to get more involved into that, try to reach out with a small group of people who are participating in the pilot, be able to give us some feedback as to whether people are able to use their iPhone 6, or whether people are able to use credit cards that now have chips in it, so we'll have a sense mm-hmm. while the pilot is ongoing.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll pass that on to the. By the way, I didn't mention we do have two other
yes.
members of the RAC. Our DC rep is Dan Turk, and he is also chairing the PPP, so mm-hmm. he's very involved in that group of initiatives. And we have Fred Walker from Virginia, that. From Fairfax County, mm-hmm. that is here. And both of them have jobs where they do travel some, so they were not able to be here today. And I'm really hoping.
There's two other ideas or things you need
sure.
to take a look at. In our safety and security committee meeting this morning, we showed a safety video, mm-hmm. which we developed internally.
I showed it. I was at the meeting, mm-hmm. and I showed it to Bob just before this meeting started. Right.
I think it would be helpful to get the RAC's response to whether you see problems with it or things that are missing in the video that should be covered. This is not like an airplane where people are forced to watch the video and you're strapped in before you take it off. This is going to be a video that's going to be out there in different places. So if you also think about other places where you think it should be so the rider will see it, I think that would be helpful as well.
We're smiling because it's like I paid you to say that. what a segue. But you had another one. What? I did not. I'm sorry.
We have very tight ethics.
I'm sorry. I know that. I'm sorry. I even joked about that. it's a perfect segue. But you said you may have had another one. Did you have another thing you wanted to bring up?
Yes. This is more for Bob. On the red line, one of the great red line crowding problems out into the county, is that the service now turns back at Bruner. I think it would be helpful to get some feedback from the RAC as to whether people coming from Shady Grove perceive that as a major problem. And the two solutions that are sort of out there are ending the Bruner turnback so that all trains go to Shady Grove. Another being thought about is reducing the lead time, the head time, but right now it's Shady Grove is 6 minutes between trains. So one thought maybe let's reduce it to 5 minutes. Those are two sort of options out there that we thought about. This is not anything that will happen in the next 24, 36 months, but as we go ahead with this order for new rail cars, one thing is whether any of the rail cars can be used for improving red line service. So we'd appreciate any thoughts and ideas that come back from red line riders.
Personally, I'm ambivalent about both of those things. Sometimes I get on at Grosvenor in the morning, and I'm always happy the train begins at Grosvenor because I get a seat. And sometimes I get on at White Flint, and it's a different situation. But sometimes I get off at Grosvenor.
Yeah. in those cases, you might prefer going for the 5 minute cutting down the headlight.
Right.
But then people from Shady Grove might not like that idea at all.
Depends where you're sitting or standing.
There will have to be a multi-sitters to give a consensus here.
Okay. Yeah.
On that video.
I assume it's the final.
It was released. It's on the site today. Yeah. It's out there.
I mean, one thought I had when I saw it is that this is a perfect example of when the RAC could serve as a focus group.
Yeah.
That before you put it out there, what's in its first cut, some things like that, changes like that, just run it by us. Yeah. I think you might have got, you know, people may have said it's the greatest thing we've ever seen, but, you know, they may have said, there are a few things that might could be
improved. We did spend last year several meetings on this issue of emergency communications, and I was, frankly, a little disappointed that you guys didn't get involved, weren't asked to be involved in developing.
Yeah, I was surprised. It's something that we probably talked about last year with the executive board, is that, you know, we'd like to be involved sooner rather than later. And some people do that,
yeah.
And where they're saying, you know, like with the budget, we're considering options. I should probably turn her off. Before we even make our recommendations, yes. We'd kind of like to hear your input. And so I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, we've certainly had lots of interactions with Lynn, and she has interacted with us in the Blue Line, but it's kind of the segue that you gave us to the Leadership and Governance Committee. And I, Mort, I talked a little bit about this when you visited with the RAC.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, about our role, because I saw with the budget, for instance, they did a survey of lots of writers, and they had all this wonderful information and community groups to see what they thought about their changes and so forth. And so I'm thinking, where do we fit in? I mean, we know we're here to advise your group. What's our role when it comes to WMATA? I think we would like to be a part of that sort of thing. And after the January incident, Mr. Downs did approach me at that very safety and the first safety and security meeting after that, which I attended, that he really wanted us to be very involved in what came from it, the procedural things, the communications, the drill,
mm-hmm.
and we are going to be in the drill. Yeah, we have several of us anyway that are going to be there at 7 o'clock on that Sunday morning. And so I'd even, you know, put out feelers with other people about, do you know of anything in the works? But we didn't know about it. And I have to say, just hearing about it in Becker was a little disheartening. And there are probably some really good reasons, but I guess our question is that a role that do you want us to play that role where we work with them and provide them input earlier in the loop?
I would like to see that.
Okay.
And I'll make that known upstairs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. We know that with all the ways they do have to do surveys and mm-hmm. the community groups and, you know, 21 more people, I'm not sure we are adding value in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they already know how many people read the emails or how many people that we have writing or, you know, certain categories or whatever. But it could be that they have, some of them have so much information at their disposal, they don't really feel a need. And, mm-hmm. and that's okay, but I don't want to feel like we're not doing our job if that comes up. One of the things that we think at times would help, like it, with the blue, whether it was the Blue Line or when it's talking about the different rail cars and which ones have which series and what communication capabilities, they have a lot of information that we don't have, and so we are always at a disadvantage in that they can certainly make finer decisions mm-hmm. than we could ever make because they have all this information and knowledge that they have. So there are many times when we want to tackle something, that's our first step as we go and try to tell us how this works or tell us about it. But when it comes to, like, numbers, whether it's the ridership numbers or anything like that, it would be great if we could be just accepted partners with the data.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know sometimes we've heard that it's because we they think of us as the public, and so they think it's releasing information to the public that's really internal information. So I never really know how to deal with that.
Well, I think if we know what your work plan is like, we can begin to pave the way to get more cooperation on those.
Okay.
On those items.
I mean, look, the video was impressive to me. The fact that we have a video, I mean, old thinking would be, oh, let's put a brochure in their hands. Yeah. And I thought that was a great idea. I have no complaints about it. I haven't dissected it or anything. But I think it's a great idea. And I think they're professional communicators, professional video people. They, you know, but I hope that there's some kind of contribution that we can make.
If I can just add, Barbara, I
know sure.
that Lynn is going to see the RAC in May.
At okay.
their meeting. The April agenda was full, and so Lynn Bowersox, the AGM of
yes.
Communications,
right.
will be presenting to the RAC in terms of the safety materials and things. So
okay.
Just wanted to put that.
Great. Thank you. The last one on my list is really very not exciting or anything. It's just that we're trying to come up with internal things. Our committee structure is... It's only been in place a couple of years, and we're still trying to figure out, you know, like what are the best practices, you know. If you don't have good notes to the meeting, the people who missed it, you know, they can't contribute. And we're going through that kind of bureaucracy of how do we do things. We're trying to make that better so that we don't come to a grinding halt if we have somebody leave the committee in the middle of the year and all the knowledge with them. So that's not very glamorous. It's just kind of the nitty-gritty of every day. That's the list. Is there, I know it's easier.
I don't think we could ever ask you to do anything more.
No, I know. Well, no, but if there are things that you think that we haven't captured,
yeah.
that's harder, I think. And you maybe you won't see that today, but maybe later you'll think, hey, you know, they didn't mention this. I think this is coming down the pipe. It'd be good. Or if there's something you know about some of this that you say, you know, this is going to change totally in another year, so it's probably not worth it. You know, proceeding with me.
Major focus continues to be the safety related
right.
stuff, and that's at the top of your list. So.
Right, it is. Yeah. It is at the top of the list. The safety itself and then the communications around the safety stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's our list.
Sure.
I think I'd be so thrilled if we did this list that our past experiences, we won't get to everything on this list. So we're going to try to focus
and
on the top.
Experience over the last year or two has been when you've taken one or two things and really done a good bang up job on them, it's more helpful than a little bit on a lot of different things. But these are all important things.
Yeah. That's a point that I shared too with the entire RAC and the committees, mm-hmm. saying, you know, that's one of our other vice chairs, Fred Walker from Fairfax, said, don't try to boil the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like there's just only so much you can do. And so there's some support for we should just pick a thing or two. But when you get the people together that have a third of them of which have just joined the RAC, you know, 3 months ago, and they're saying, but we want to do this. It's,
right.
So we've tried to prioritize them and say, you know, but what are you really going to tackle first? And so that if you get one thing done, which one is it? So that's where we are. But right now they have, they think they can eat a lot. There's a lot on their plates.
So hopefully the next time we meet, we'll have a better sense of which ones you've really decided to dig in on. And we will look forward to what you tell us about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we meet with you again.
It's right. It's the 3, 6, 9, 12
yeah.
months, the quarterly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any questions, comments, anything more, Jennifer, you want to say?
Over this same time period, obviously, cycle keeps moving, but we will be developing the next 5-6 year plan.
Mm.
Agreed to pull it back this time, really deal with a mini plan that hopefully will get a few things done, like either go or not with the option cards, and then come up with a comprehensive next steps in terms of capital investment for a year from now to bring to the jurisdictions. So somewhere along the line, it'd be good to get input on that as well. What should be the priorities? How are we working on it? How much progress are we making?
I'm curious about the go, no go, because I remember hearing about that in the prior, there's like we have an option to buy additional rail cars at a certain price if we proceeded by a certain time. Is that what it was?
Under, when we awarded the original contract for the 7K, it had certain, it's actually broken into five parts, two for Dulles, one for replacement of the 1K cars, and additional cars if we could figure out the best way to use those. We've exercised three of the five. Two are remaining. By the latter part of July, we have to exercise the others or let them go. There's a five-year limit on how long we have to do that. So we're trying to get to a decision point, not only what would we use them for, but how will we pay for them. But it is an opportunity. We don't want to let go by if we can possibly figure out a way to do it. And we're working with the jurisdictions on that.
Are those instrumental in proceeding on getting connection between all the cars in a single train? I mean,
I'm sorry.
Is exercising that option a prerequisite for having the cars be able to send communications through all the way and not have gaps?
When the new cars are delivered, they will operate in unit trains of eight brand new 7,000 series.
Oh, okay. So the existing ones are same as they are today.
Right. But no, actually, as the 1,000 series get retired, there'll be less need to put these mixed consists together.
Mm.
One of the things that does prevent good communications up and down the line of the train is having a five, two ones, couple of sixes. Once the 1,000 series are gone, the plan will be fives run with five, sixes run with sixes, twos and threes run together, and that really makes for a better functioning fleet. Mm-hmm. And one, in some cases, not every case, but like the sixes, are capable of telling you what station you're coming into.
Right.
But they can't do that if they're in a consist with others. So.
So what is the current known time frame for the ones to be gone, or is that dependent on the option?
No,
it's
no,
not dependent
no,
on the
not
option.
Dependent on
okay,
the option.
Great.
It's just a function of time. It's probably 3 years or so.
Okay.
Before they're all gone.
Okay.
The ones that are currently on order and paid for will get us to that point.
Oh, okay.
Enough to run Dulles and enough to retire all the ones.
Great.
But there's other things we could do better if we had additional. We exercise the additional option.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Anything more for us?
Question?
Just a quick question for Marty. Thank you. I know that we did this morning with one of the overland projects and planning committee has worked with the global communication by app and has met with the virus digital communications manager. It's just, I think it's very interesting and useful that they have a great system. Just within the last 2 weeks, I've heard on the radio that Bridge, that kind of app startup providing bus service, has started service in and around Washington, D.C. And it might be useful to for the board to schedule a discussion with all the grads on the impact on the remaining metro bus service that will be provided when you're through Kevin metro bus service. The impact that Bridge might have, maybe you won't have any, but it might have, it could have substantial impact negatively. So I will be trying to attend meetings of program project and planning committee, but also I would hope that the board would consider having scheduling a general city discussion at some point on the subject.
It is something we need to be thinking about. I don't know if you were at, no, you weren't there either. It was the APTA Board of Directors meeting during the Ledge Conference, had a presentation from a futurist who said, once we have all the connected vehicles driving around and the electric vehicles driving around and the ability to dispatch cars whenever you need them, we won't need transit.
Oh. Okay.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
I didn't get an answer. I wasn't there, so I couldn't ask directly. But I said, did you ask him what happens when the 500,000 people come downtown in the morning in their electric vehicles? Where do the vehicles go during the day?
Anything you're dying to say? Okay. We appreciate the forum. Thank you for listening. Appreciate your input.
I enjoyed being at your meeting the other night, even though I didn't make it all.
Oh.
I got a good sense of what the discussion was. Definitely we'll get back for another one soon.
Great. We welcome you. Thank you very much.
Anything else, Leif? Any questions? No. Appreciate your sitting in. Appreciate Mr. Goldman's participation. Good to see you all.
All right. Thank you.